Okay. So we'll call to order the August 7th, 2013 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Miller.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Steelmeyer. Steele. Absent.
Prior to the meeting, you've received an agenda for this evening. Do we have any modifications or changes to that agenda?
None.
Hearing none, the agenda will be approved as it was submitted. We had a group of minutes from the July 3rd, 2013 draft minutes. Do we have any changes or modifications to those minutes?
Second.
Okay. The minutes will stand approved then with no other changes as they were submitted. I want to go through this evening. Has everyone signed in? Everyone that's out there, appreciate that very much. The process as we go through this evening, for those who might not have been here before, is as we bring case up, the planning staff will first present their report. We will ask them about any letters or comments or contacts they've had from the public about that. We will then ask that the applicant present their case at whatever level of detail that they would like. We will give any interested parties in the audience that would like to make comments to the board the opportunity at that point in time. Then the applicant will be given a chance to have a final closing statement if they desire. And at that point in time, though, the hearing will be closed and the board will deliberate, and we will come up with an answer this evening. So it's not something that happens later. So just so people know what the process is. And as a reminder for the board, we are normally a five-person entity. We are three this evening. We are required to, however, maintain that quorum, which means that any decision that we make this evening with the three of us must be unanimous in order to go forward. So kind of keep that in mind as we move. Any general comments from the public not on the cases that we have in front of us this evening? Okay. Any old business that anyone would like to bring? Then we move on to new business, and our new business this evening would be a variance, VAR 03-13, BioForge Lab Incorporated. Turn it over to staff.
Good evening. As stated, this case is regarding VAR 03-13, also known as the BioForge Labs variance request. Of a property location located at 29570 Highway 69. Of a parcel of a little less than a half acre, currently zoned commercial. It's being assessed as residential. It has a dwelling on it in addition to what you may know as the old Midvale Antique Store. It's located within 2 miles of the city of Huxley, and it's designated as Cooperative Planning Area Tier 3 of the Surrey County Development Plan. The requested action is a variance to Section 86.07, subsection 5 of our land development regulations to allow for a 10-foot rear setback as opposed to the required 20-foot rear setback. The intention of the applicant is to demolish the old non-conforming structure and rebuild a new one in its place. I'll get more into the details of that as I go on. Looking at a few of the findings of fact for this case, staff noted that the original structure was built prior to when Story County had setback requirements. The main structure on the property is approximately only 16 feet from the U.S. Highway 69 right-of-way. Section 86.7, subsection 5, requires a front setback of 50 feet, a rear back of 20 feet, and in this case, the commercial zoning district does not require a side setback. As they currently do not meet the front setback requirements, the structure on the property are considered non-conforming structures. Further, according to another section of our regulations, should such structures be destroyed by any means to an extent of 60% or more of its fair market value at the time of its destruction, it should not be reconstructed except in conformance with our regulations. So their intention is to tear down the structure. Obviously, tearing it all down would be past 60%, so rebuilding it would require it to meet all of our setback requirements. Staff noted that looking at the PARCA file, that in September of 1996, K09-96 went in front of the Board of Adjustment regarding the subject property and was granted a variance to the front setback requirement from 50 feet to 31 feet. The case underwent interagency review on July 17th. Surrounding property owner letters went out on July 31st, and legal notices were published on August 1st. Here you can see a surrounding property owner map. All the areas highlighted in blue are the surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property that were notified of the variance request. It's kind of difficult to see. The parcel is so small there. Highlighted in red is our subject lot. Here you can see a picture of the Midvale Antique Store. This is the structure in question. As with all variance requests, we're looking at certain legal principles. The first is finding an unnecessary hardship, and then second is granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And then the third is that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. Looking at staff analysis of those legal principles, staff noted that the property was purchased by the appellant on December 12, 2012, with the intention to use it as a commercial property and a residence. And according to them, after the purchase, major structural damage was found that has essentially rendered the building unusable for their needs and is likely in need of demolition. As I already stated, the current structure doesn't meet front setbacks. It's only 16 foot of that 50 foot required from the front property line there. So they would like to rebuild a structure on the property so that the front setbacks are met for safety reasons from heavily traveled Highway 69 corridor there. However, in order to build a structure of similar size and style, which is their goal, they would have to encroach on that rear setback requirement by 10 feet. The appellant has requested to purchase property from the landowner east in order to enlarge the parcel so that they could meet the setbacks and was turned down. Staff further noted that the lot in question, again, was created long before Story County had zoning regulations. And likely a development lot such as this, especially for commercial use, would not be created in present day as the current setback requirements take up a majority of the lot. Over 65% of the lot area is taken up by the setback requirements, which would allow only 15 feet of space left for a structure in the south end and 60 feet to the north. This severely limits where a new structure may be placed on the property. Again, in order to maintain the character of the area, it's the intention of the appellant to build a structure of similar size and shape as the one that's currently there that they would like to demolish. The current structure, according to the assessor's documents, is approximately 32 feet deep, not including the porch that's there. The appellant would like to keep it in the same position relative to that south lot line, to not move it any further up north. But move it back to meet the setback requirements. Here you can see a zoomed-in version of the lot that we're talking about here. The structure to the very south there is the one in question. On the left, you can see just an aerial photo of the property. There's also garages there to the north of that main structure, and then some trees to the north. The applicant will get into it in further detail, but evidently a good portion of the northern part of this property is also taken up by old railroad right-of-way. It was brought to my attention after I wrote the staff report that that's the case, but they'll probably talk to you about that in more detail. And here you can see to the picture to the right is a diagram of the setback requirements and how much area. The yellow portion is the setback requirements and how much of that lot is taken up by those setback requirements. Staff further noted that granting the variance will enhance the public interest in terms of safety, as the building will be set back from Highway 69 by over twice of its current location. Further, a new structurally sound and safe structure will be built in place of an old structure with major structural damage, which enhances both the safety and welfare of customers and surrounding properties. Also noted, the main interagency review comment was from Michael Kenyon of Iowa DOT, who noted that the Iowa DOT has had concerns in the past with the existing accesses of this parcel of land and how the public right-of-way was used in the past for private use. We are encouraged that the new development will be set back further from U.S. 69, which will improve safety. The other concern is the existing accesses do not conform with the current access policy. The new development will be required to obtain an access permit from Iowa DOT to remove existing accesses and construct a new access to U.S. 69 for their use. The developer needs to contact the Iowa DOT in the beginning stages of development so access location requirements can be discussed. So with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Clarification on the findings of facts. Now, the 1996 case where the front setback was changed from 50 to 31, was that for some of the auxiliary structures? I mean, because on the item before that, below that, excuse me, item 3, it says it's 16 feet from the U.S. Highway 69 right away.
Yeah, that was for an
statement in conflict, or let me know how those interact. Is the right of way on into the property, and therefore that's where the 31 foot is?
No, the right of way runs right along the property line there. My understanding is that
area 31 feet in 1996.
I believe that it was for the garage, the accessory structure.
That's kind of what I was wondering, but I wanted to make sure.
And my recollection when I was looking at that was for an addition to that as well.
So that I assume was approved because it did not increase the non-conformance. Okay. I just want to make sure we have the planning of facts down relative to that. Other questions for staff?
No. I have a couple. You mentioned the main structure. Which one is considered the main structure on that property?
One furthest to the south there, the bottom.
So
one.
The Midvale Antique Shop is the main structure. Okay. And then you also stated that neither structure is conforming. Because the setback is wrong?
Yeah. As you can see from the picture here to the right, the front setback is there, and it covers up both the buildings there.
That's all I had.
The precedent that we've had before is that you can't increase the nonconformance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of why I wanted to talk a little bit about the 1993.
Mm-hmm. There has been mentioned from the applicant as well to replace those garages as well, in which case they would be building those in conformance.
I mean, that's an interesting aspect. I mean, given your diagram on the right, Ryan, there's very little developable property in there. If indeed a garage were to be replaced, does it have to meet the 50-foot setback requirements?
As long as more than 60% of the structure is taken out, has been demolished.
That ends up being my next question, and this is relative to the way the land regs are written. Just as put in the findings of fact, that should such structures be destroyed, which I'm assuming is primarily talking about fire or tornadoes or et cetera, that you have to meet the current regs. We don't have a building that's been destroyed. We have a building that is structurally, obviously, deficient. How does that fit into this terminology?
Well, they're wanting to demolish.
What they're wanting to do, but I'm just...
If they demolish
it. Regulation about move, you know, having to do it says, should such structure be destroyed? And it hasn't been destroyed. And so I don't know what precedent is out there for something that is apparently aged itself out or whatever else like that. I mean, the regs are kind of precise about saying that if a tornado came through, I mean, we wouldn't even have a question. If a tornado came through, 75% of the structure was destroyed, we'd turn around and say, well, then you're going to have to come back and replace. Well, this is a voluntary demolition.
Mm-hmm.
The structure hasn't been destroyed. How do we deal with that? I guess it's nice.
If they tear it down, that's destruction. So to me, if it goes away, and they wanted to rebuild, they would have to meet it. If they left the building where it was, without destroying the building.
For instance, if they were to want to place a new structure on this property, it would have to be built in conformance with the current regulations. Yeah.
I'm just trying to struggle a little bit with some of the wording as I read it and understand what precedence we might be under.
We've always used, we being staff, the language says by any means. And so even human intervention, destruction on your own, and demolition on your own cause or on by yourself would meet that test.
That is in item number 5. I appreciate you pointing that out as one item I just wanted to at least clarify. Other questions for staff? Okay. Then I might ask staff, do we have any other comments, emails, phone calls, or anything from the public? Okay. And we will close that portion, and we will now ask the applicant who would like to speak. If you'd come to the podium and identify yourself, we'd appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Denise Darks, and I'm the Chief Operations Officer for BioForge Labs. And my role at the company is I handle all the financial and the accounting and the contracting and the leasing. An additional item that I would like to point out is on the north side of the property, we also have a billboard that Lamar leases from us, and that would also be something that we want to try to maintain on the property. And if we would build a structure to the north, that would be impeding and obstructing that. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Do you have any other questions of us?
What does BioForge do?
We are a pet food formulation company, and we do manufacturing for this private label. But we have a primary business in Huxley. We're located at 402 Campus Drive in Huxley. We purchased the Micro building in October of 2010. And then we looked at purchasing this property as just kind of an extension of our current facility. We're out of room. It was a nice little property when it came up, we thought.
Well, what's wrong with the existing building?
A lot of things. Basically, what happened was when we upstairs, we went ahead and gutted and put into operation. But downstairs, there had been antiques and things obstructing the view of the floor joists. When we got the antiques cleared out and we started pulling off the siding and looking at the floor structure, we found that it was completely rotted, and we need to have a termite inspector in there. It may actually be termite infestation. So the foundation itself is still there, but the walls, and there's been a lot of leakage. What we found later was that the windows had been leaking for quite some time, and they put new windows into the structure, but didn't actually fix a lot of the leaking.
Up another point, the garage, are you intending to take the garage down?
We would like to do so. That's correct. The garage is not in very good shape either. They're both pretty old.
Whatever you build would be able to fit into that small pie shape?
No. That's why we're asking if we could encroach, take 10 feet into here.
Right.
Yep, so we just take this and move it back within the 10-foot setback.
I think we understand that for the main building. So what we're considering here is changing the setback, the rear setback for
whole length
any structures. as opposed to just one. Just make sure we understand the scope.
The other thing that I'd like to also add is we'd like to maintain what trees are there. There's not a lot of trees in that area, and if you look here, you can see there's, these are apple trees here, and there's two large pines in the middle. So we'd really like to keep those if we could.
That staff's understanding, too, I might ask while we're at it, that this request to go to 10 feet is for any future structures that might go. So this just is 10 foot.
You could do it for both the main structure and the garage. It wasn't clear in the original application. That would apply to the garage as well. So when I created the staff,
we need to deal with that tonight. That's part of my question.
It would be up to you if you would grant the variance for.
Well, if you rebuild this, are you going to build just one structure, one building, or are you going to build two separate ones?
It's been our intention that we would keep it separate. So
you would have two structures.
Right. Okay. We would, really, the safety is a big issue. Very close to the road.
I noticed from the materials that were submitted that you had talked to the landowner to the east, you know, about land. Appreciate your being thorough. That's a very good thing as you go through that. Did you ever, I mean, going to the east and you know, if you're a crop farmer, you know, they're going to want to keep as much crop as they can and everything. Did you consider or have any conversations about swapping land? In other words, moving the southern border up more north and move out such that that landowner has as much crop land as he had before?
It was our understanding. Our realtor contacted the landowner, and at the time he said basically there wasn't any interest to maintain, that it was going to be maintained the way it was. That was what we were told.
You mentioned an old railroad right-of-way that's to the north.
Yes, there's an elevator.
If you can see it barely in the top of the picture, there's a...
Oh, yeah.
And there was a railroad track.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That map.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have any comments or people who would like to address the board relative to this case from the public? Please come over here. Yeah, you may. Please come over and identify yourself.
Joan Dooley, and I live across the road. And I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit more about the nature of the pet food business and what is the bio aspect of it. And also, are you going to continue to maintain the building in Huxley as well? So those are my questions.
I'd like to please come forward and respond.
I'm Brent Seeger, CEO of BioForge Labs. Yes, we will maintain the factory. Our manufacturing is located in Huxley. We're using this for auxiliary lab space. Our building at 402 campus is full. And the name BioForge Labs, we formulate and manufacture exotic animal foods for zoos, universities, stuff like that. So out at the Midville area would just be lab space. Does that answer your question? No, just for employees, offices, and extra lab space. Well, we do private label. So if a customer calls us and wants a hermit crab food or a scientific diet, we develop that and then we manufacture it. What we would use the lab space out of Midville would be offices, maybe testing some food, like for example we might have 200 hermit crabs out there that we're feeding food to, but primarily it would just be an overflow lab space with no chemicals. We don't, you know, just we make food in town, but just office space, laboratory space, computers, just stuff for people to do research. Well, we make all kinds of different fruit. So, you know, it depends on what the customer wants. Like, if you wanted a dog treat, a private label dog treat, we would formulate that, manufacture the dog treat. And, you know, we range anywhere from insect diets to reptile, fish, hermit crab, just all kinds of different feeds. Any other questions?
We want to get it on record if you're going to do it.
I'm Jim Dooley. I live right across the street with my wife at 29341. And I was just wondering, you said there would be no chemicals there, so there's no runoff aspects or anything. That would be my only concern, if you needed a containment pond or anything like that. Because I have trouble with herbicides killing all my pasture grass over there anyway.
And just so that people yourself are aware, I mean, this part of the regulations, if you will, that we're dealing with is associated with land use. It's not necessarily associated. Now, we would be concerned about and need to address things like traffic or other impact associated with that land use, not necessarily what's going on inside. But from what I'm hearing from these people, you're dealing about a business where you're talking about basically cars and pickups going to this place and not large-scale movements of materials or other stuff. I'm hearing that it's pretty incidental in terms of that. Which
I don't have any objections. I just
wanted to make sure we didn't have a kind of a false expectation here. We're trying to deal with the land use and the appropriate use of the land according to the regs. So,
the setback, is it going to maintain the 31 feet or the 50 feet?
They're asking for tonight is for the 50 feet, but they're asking in return for us to give up the backside by 10 feet. That's the nature of the request. So, anyhow, didn't want to get off base too much, but we appreciate your comments and sharing your concerns as we go. Any closing statements that the applicant would like to have something? Yes. Okay. Can we deal with that, Ryan? Good. I think we can handle that quite well. Well, we'd like to have your name in the record. And
I'm Eva Stensland, and I'm the wretched landowner that doesn't want to sell any ground.
Okay.
However, you said, and I don't have anything to trade is the problem, because I basically surround them on these two sides. So,
well, when I was talking about trade, since they are talking about taking down the garage and taking down the main building, is if the south end of the property were to be moved up an equal amount to allow the border to move to the east, okay, so that you wouldn't lose any farm ground, okay, and it also ends up creating a parcel that is more usable not only for the current residents, but for future people. When we deal with a parcel that's 65% regulated on setback, there's not much left to do with that piece of land.
How far is the back of the building going to be from the fence line on the east?
They're asking for 10 feet.
The back of the building will be 10 feet further east.
That's what's being requested.
That doesn't need too much on that side either. So,
is there a fence? Mm-hmm. A fence around that fence line?
Mm-hmm.
So, help me understand why, what that would do to your operation.
Well, they need some more acreage, and I don't have anything to sell. I border them on the south, and then the fence line goes north, and it goes all the way past the Midville commercial building to Sandcliff's property.
Okay.
And I don't see where you're saying there'd be a trade-off, I guess.
I was merely looking at the land to the east as being cropland.
Uh-huh.
Okay? With the idea that you would want to have the same number of acres.
I understand that.
Before and after. So if one subtracted, I'll just use a number. If one subtracted a half an acre from the south side, but allowed the border on the east side then to extend a half an acre, you would still have the same amount of probable land. Mm-hmm. That was my only, it was just a question and an observation on my part.
I'm quite close to them on both sides. I think they would need, I don't know what the setback is on the side of the building. On the south side?
The south side is nothing, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So the south side is nothing, and the current east side is 20 feet, and they're asking for 10 mm-hmm. in order to keep the building 50 feet back from the road, which is a requirement.
Well, that was the only question I had.
Okay. So you don't have any concerns from your land in terms of being able to function in the way that it currently functions?
No.
Okay. Okay. That's what we need. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any other comments? Last minute statements from the applicant in this case? No?
Okay.
And we will close this and we will begin the deliberation portion at this point in time. So from this point on, you know, if we address the applicant or other people with questions, we'd ask you to come up. Otherwise, it's up to the board to finish their work now. Okay, the first item that we have is the finding of facts. We need to determine that the facts as presented by the staff were adequate and accurate. I think we've asked several questions, clarification. I don't think those require any changes specifically.
I move to adopt the findings of facts presented by the staff, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
I second that.
So we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to adopt the findings of facts as presented in the staff report, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
The next item as we go down through this is relative to the decision. What we have to do is we've got some criteria, the legal principles. We've been through this before. One is the finding of unnecessary hardship in that the land in question can't yield a reasonable return if used for a purpose allowed in that zone. Two is the plan owner is due to unique circumstances and not due to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance. Three is it used to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. And granted, the variance will not be in contrary to public interest when the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Land are protected. Do we have concerns in that regard? I mean, we've got an odd-shaped parcel that with the setbacks that exist is almost unusable.
Right.
However, it was being used before.
Now, the positive is the move will improve the safety of the area.
Mm-hmm. And it will allow the land parcel to be used in a,
right.
in a functional manner. Now and perceivably into the future.
In the future. I guess I move to adopt the decision as outlined in the staff report, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding the legal principles as applicable are met.
Second.
Given that we have these criteria that are there by regulations as we go through this, we're pretty restricted as we go. Do we have to find, I mean, we've got a motion and a second to adopt, but do we have to find that some of these criteria either don't apply or might we have to clarify this in order to make sure that we've got a decision that is applicable in the stand?
For instance, in the case of finding an unnecessary hardship, in the past only one of those would have to be met in order to be fined an unnecessary hardship. Not all of them, necessarily.
I mean, in this case, since we have a legally existing non-conforming structure on a piece of land, like I said, that is almost unusable if you apply the current regulations when you look at the amount of land that's in there. Mm-hmm. But it is being used. So I have to assume that it's not only in the landowner's best interest, but even the public's best interest to use this in some manner. So I tend to be lenient in that regard as we start to talk about this. It's almost like the second item where we have a hardship, only this particular hardship ends up being the very nature that the lot, which we wouldn't allow to exist today, exists, and can't be used for anything reasonable other than possibly what the occupant is proposing, which is also not incongruent or different than what it's currently being used for. So we're really not changing anything. And I guess I'm just questioning whether we need to clarify this motion in second to make sure that we're sound in what we do relative to the regulations.
Yeah, that sounds...
So would be prudent. Really clarify it all, or is the current motion adequate?
You may identify what legal principles may apply in this case. And I guess I would defer to your judgment on what that would be.
Kind of see what I'm getting at a little bit. We've been through this before, and at times we've had to determine because we make the motion to adopt, but it's because...
So in other words, you want clarification more of the motion.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I guess that's where my comfort level is at this point in time.
I guess I would be willing to amend my motion, finding yeah, that the plight of the owner is due to the unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect unreasonableness. I was torn between that and one.
Yeah, I know. But I thought since they bought the property, they assumed probably that it was in good shape, and now they found that it isn't. And
yeah, my concern, maybe I worry too much, but as we move forward prepping, eventually that comes up. It's just kind of like going back to 1996. I'm talking about what happened in 1996. If all we do is kind of blanketly say we approve, my concern is we haven't addressed part of the why as we deal with perpetuity as we move forward. And like I said, I accept the fact that this is a unique property.
Right.
And it's currently in use, and they're not changing the use in any significant manner. And therefore, we have a rationale, but if all we say is, we adopt a decision, mm-hmm. It's almost like saying this stuff just didn't apply.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I take a rationale of why. Yes. Yeah.
In the past, you've simply said, like for example, A1, that is not applicable. And that's what you and that's how you've dealt with it, and that's why the motion reads all applicable legal principles as applicable or not are met.
Okay.
I'm warned that I'm comfortable with that. It's just leaving it as a blanket decision as the precedence that's associated with that is possibly just a little uncomfortable. So would you like to amend?
Okay, I guess after this discussion, what does staff recommend?
Talking about that the fact that the board considers that item A1 is not applicable to this particular situation,
all the others are satisfied. And okay. Even A1 is...
A1 is the showstopper.
All right. So in other words, I will amend my motion to say move to adopt the decision as outlined, the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding the legal principles as applicable are met with the exception of A1. Is that sufficient?
I second that.
Okay, so we've got an amended motion that moves to adopt the decision as outlined in the staff report, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding the legal principles as applicable are met with the exception of A1, which the board determined is not applicable in this situation. Roll.
Arlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. Okay. And I have one more question to staff before we move on to the order. I assume that we do not have to make any mention of the DOT access requirements because that would be redundant, because DOT is taking care of that.
Okay.
That was the one other.
I was going to say, yep. I had to clarify. All right.
Okay. So we're down to our order then.
Move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case VAR 03-13 as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied.
Second that.
Got a motion and a second to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number VAR 03-13. Roll, please.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Request is approved as noted. I know it seems like possibly some minutia that goes through, but when we go through these things, we want to make sure that what we come up with sticks and works for you and works for the public. Thank you for everyone's participation this evening. Any other business to bring before the board? Comments from the board members at all? Staff comments? Okay. Do we have a future meeting, Chris?
Right, but we don't have anything as of yet. Unless something were to... Right.
Get something before business, end of business tomorrow.
Right.
On the agenda. Okay. We will then stand adjourned. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.